You're listening to What's New with Wired.
This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Each episode features insight you won't find anywhere else from the center of the conversation surrounding emerging technologies like AI. Right now on the podcast, you can hear a special episode where Brad Smith lays out Microsoft's vision for a vibrant marketplace driving the new AI economy. To hear more, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Thursday, March 28th. I'm Zeke Robison. Today, why the Baltimore Bridge collapse is about to get even messier. Make sure to listen to the end to find out what other Wired podcasts you can check out today. In the early hours of Tuesday morning, the global supply chain and U.S. coastal infrastructure collided in the worst possible way. An enormous container ship, the Dolly, slammed into a support of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, crumpling its central span into the Patapsco River and cutting off the city's port from the Atlantic Ocean. 18 hours later, at approximately 7:30 p.m. Tuesday evening, rescuers called off the search, with six missing people presumed dead. With the wreckage yet to be cleared, the Port of Baltimore, a critical shipping hub, has suspended all water traffic, according to the Maryland Port Administration, though trucks are still moving goods in and out of the area. Baltimore is the ninth busiest port in the U.S. for international trade, meaning the effects of the crash will ripple across the region, U.S., and even global economy for however long the 47-year-old bridge takes to fix, a timeline experts say that's still unclear. This will be a special pain for the auto, farm equipment, and construction industries because Baltimore handles the most roll-on-roll-off ships on the U.S. East Coast, an industry term for those designed to handle wheeled cargo. The port has the special equipment to move these products, workers trained in how to use it, and, critically, a location within an overnight driving distance of the densely populated eastern seaboard and heavily farmed Midwest. Almost 850,000 cars and light trucks came through the port last year. So did 1.3 million tons of farm and construction machinery. Fortunately for the logistics industry, there are some alternative routes, both for ships coming into port and trucks crossing the river. Two tunnels traverse the Patapsco and could take some of the goods and people that once traveled across the Key Bridge, which was also part of Maryland Route 695. Nearby ports, including Norfolk in Virginia, Philadelphia in Pennsylvania, and Savannah in Georgia, should be able to accept many of the goods usually handled by Baltimore's port. But the shipping picture will get more complicated the longer the disaster takes to resolve. Ships haul big, heavy goods in large quantities across oceans, albeit relatively slowly, meaning changes to their routes and destinations can add a lot of time to a journey. If a ship is hauling a bunch of different cargoes for a bunch of different industries, a holdup along the way causes a lot of people to be screaming for their supplies. Everybody right now is saying, "We're just going to reroute, it's going to be fine," says Nada Sanders, an expert in supply chain management at Northeastern University. If this lasts a while, it's not going to be fine, it's going to impact prices. The destruction of the bridge also underlines that boats are getting bigger. Trade transport volume across the seas has tripled in the last three decades. At nearly 1,000 feet long, the Dolly is emblematic of the ballooning shipping industry. The growth of boats is down to simple economics. The more goods you can cram on a ship, the more you save on costs. The amount of cargo has increased tremendously, says Zal Feroz, a supply chain analyst at the University of California, San Diego. This has been impacted to a great degree by COVID and after COVID as well. The prices of cargo skyrocketed. The prices of containers skyrocketed. Everything just went through the roof. But while shipping is a growth industry, infrastructure is stagnant by design. Engineering and technology improve, sure, but a bridge is an expensive undertaking that's built to last. This incident is a reminder that we need to look at transportation and infrastructure as a system, says Ni'ato Okina, a professor of civil and environmental engineering at the University of Maryland. The Francis Scott Key Bridge opened nearly half a century ago, when cargo ships were much smaller. When these bridges were built, they weren't necessarily built to withstand the size and weight and force of a cargo ship like this one ramming into it, says Firoz. It wasn't foreseeable that a scenario like this would take place. When the dolly hit that support, the steel structure folded like paper. When you take a support away, there is very little in the way of robustness, David Knight, a bridge expert and specialist advisor to the UK's Institution of Civil Engineers, told Wired on Tuesday. It will drag down, as we saw all three spans. Knight added that engineers have in recent years been adding defenses to supports to protect against ships, but even then, such giant ships still wreak havoc on anything they run into. The same pandemic that catapulted the shipping industry to new heights could also help save Baltimore and the wider region from the worst effects of the port shutdown. The supply chain woes that followed the virus taught the international shipping industry to take contingency planning more seriously, says Jason Miller, a professor of supply chain management at Michigan State University. This is a human tragedy, and this is a disruption, he says of the bridge collapse. But we are further down the disruption learning curve compared to where we were 4 years ago. Make sure to check out our other Wired podcasts. Today in Wired Business, the science of crypto forensics survives a court battle, for now. Checking in on Wired Science, the next generation of cancer drugs will be made in space. And on Wired Security, malicious activity hits the University of Cambridge's medical school. Listen to these stories and more at wired.com/podcasts.
Thanks for listening to Wired. Check back in tomorrow to hear more stories from wired.com.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.